Good morning and welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Our Center for Organizational and Human Resource Effectiveness, formerly known as CORE, now known as CORE, is offering enrollment in the Foundational Leadership Academy to businesses and organizations in Rutherford County for the first time. This is a program that has been offered to Rutherford County employees for the past 3 years. This is the first time it is being offered to folks in the private sector. And here with me to talk about the expansion of this program is Dr. Patrick McCarthy, who is the CORE director and an MTSU professor of psychology, and Michael Hine, who is the associate director of CORE and also an MTSU professor of psychology. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Michael, I've talked to you before, I believe about 3 years ago, about the program that was offered initially to Rutherford County employees, helping them to explore leadership qualities and to exude more of them, to find out what it means to be a leader and how to best manifest those skills. What convinced you that it was time to expand it to the public sector?
The private sector. Basically, the county came to us 3 years ago and said they wanted something to develop leaders that was rigorous, practical, hands-on, and affordable. And we've spent 3 years doing that. It's been successful both from our point of view and their point of view. We have offered some of these modules since we developed them to companies that had specifically asked for them, but we thought the whole program really made a better package and that there's a lot of need for these skills. A lot of people are retiring, a lot of companies are worried about developing bench strength, and there was a lot of need for these skills probably in the local community, and that we ought to offer them, that same program, we could offer it with pretty straightforward here in Rutherford County.
Is the economy causing private sector businesses also to lose veterans and turn toward hiring younger, less experienced, and therefore cheaper people? And with this infusion of youth, does that also bring about a need and this lack of institutional memory that's going with the older employees? Does that bring about a need for more and more leadership skill development?
Well, I don't know if it's the economy might actually be stalling that a little bit, which will give some companies some time to deal with it. What's actually happening is a retirement of the baby boomers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of companies are realizing that they're going to have to move a lot of people up into positions to replace those people, and they don't have the skills to do that. And so that's really where the concerns about bench strength are coming. If the economy rebounds in any reasonable amount of time, there could be a real scramble for people to suddenly develop leaders.
Patrick, what does CORE get out of doing a program like this?
Sure, well, it's really twofold. On the one hand, those of us who are there, most of us, the senior folks, have typically been doing these sorts of things for about 20 years. While some of us are professors here, many of us have done consulting work for quite some time. So we're able to bring all of that into these sorts of things. The other thing is, since we're affiliated with the university, while on the one hand we're a standalone consulting firm of sorts, our affiliation with the university means a key part of our mission is to serve our community. And so being able to offer these kinds of services to develop particularly Tennessee and Middle Tennessee in particular and assist businesses is a key part of our mission.
When it comes to devising a program like this for private sector businesses, what modifications, if any, do you have to make in the existing program for the government employees in your transition to applying it to people who work for businesses?
Well, I'll take a shot at that, and I'll let Mike follow up as well. You know, many of the keys to success, as far as what it takes to be an effective leader, for example, translate quite well. You have to sort of modify that, as sometimes the particular circumstances in which they're operating can be different in one type of an organization versus another. But that's not just a public-private sector distinction. You have a large organization, a large corporate entity can be different from a small business, for example. So you have to kind of customize it to be as relevant to the particular job situation.
A governmental entity or a large business would have codified policies, practices, procedures for handling certain types of situations, whereas a small business, mom and pop store, might be just hey, you know, Bubba, I deal with Bubba because I know Bubba, and it's a much more informal, less rigid kind of relationship, sure, for dealing with issues and problems.
Sure, and if it's a family business, you can't always fire somebody. Things go badly. But that's not, of course, where this is aimed for. What it's really aimed for is to develop the best talent for everybody. And the organizational realities, the situation, the environment that you're operating in, can be very different for a small mom and pop as it is for a large corporate entity. Yeah. But nonetheless, it still is about running a business. It's still about managing people. It's still about motivating. It's still about dealing with conflict effectively and constructively. So there's a lot of the key elements are the same, but the specific situations in which they're applied can be somewhat modified.
Michael, when you look back at the 3 years that the Rutherford County Employees Leadership Academy program has been in effect, how do you assess its effectiveness? How do you either quantify that or make a subjective judgment about it?
Well, we there's some subjective discussion, certainly with the leadership of the county, but we have them fill out an evaluation of the training. After the training is complete, they do an online evaluation. And we also, in each session, we talk about what worked and what didn't work at the end of each session with them to get feedback for us to improve the program in the future. I know we've had one person in the county with several years of business experience whose comment was, this is the best training she's ever received.
That's high praise. Did you gather all kinds of testimonials from folks?
We've got a few. We've got them up on the website. It's a matter of sorting through which ones will help us the most.
How do you go about marketing this program to businesses and making sure they're aware of it, selling it to them, and convincing them that it's in their best interest?
You know, we have information available on our website, which is www.cohre.net. We certainly have referrals from those who have worked with us before in the past. We have a sort of a network of folks that are aware of us. Since this is the first time that it's being offered to the private sector, a little bit more of a push now to get the word out, because it's usually sort of the first go around is where there's the greatest effort just to get the awareness going.
With the Rutherford County Employees Program, how was it determined which employees would participate in the academy? What was the process for that?
The leadership of the county actually had people apply for the academy, and then they would sort through the applications and decide which ones would come to the training program. There were some people that they had in leadership positions that hadn't had any type of leadership training, and they also wanted to develop some people that weren't necessarily currently in leadership positions, but that they saw as high potentials.
And how would the private businesses determine, or would that be up to each individual business to determine who would participate in the leadership academy from their business?
Yes, certainly it would be up to them, but the most common scenarios is either they have people who are in those positions or about to rise into those positions, or they're trying to develop sort of the next generation of talent, and they want to make sure that they're perhaps the jobs that they're successful in now require one set of skills, but to lead others at the next level up require an additional set of skills, and this is a chance for them to get that and prepare themselves for that.
Well, they must make a decision on the basis not only of their experience but raw talent, because since there is a fee involved and the business has to pay a fee to Corey, they have to believe that this individual and their future with the company is worth spending this fee for in order to invest in the Leadership Academy.
Right. You know, you get to a certain point of potential is one thing. You want to make sure that pays off. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they send them to us, so that they are in a better position to succeed.
If the leadership skills are basically the same that we're talking about in both the government program and the business program, tell me what kind of skills are we talking about? What do you look for in individuals that you try to nurture and develop through the Leadership Academy?
Well, these what we're focusing on right now are really what first line supervisor for individual relationship kind of skills. So goal setting and providing performance feedback, delegating to employees, developing employees, conflict resolution, and then really how to deal with individuals and groups at the same time, because most leaders are leading a team, but they also have to deal with each of those people individually.
How does a good manager balance the necessity of having everyone work together as a team with the necessity to acknowledge individual achievement and individual contributions to the team?
The leader needs to recognize the strengths and weaknesses of each person they're working with and deal with them on an individual level. Mm-hmm. But then it's their job to piece those together in terms of how the team is going to function and keep people from getting feeling like people are, you know, that there's preferential treatment going on. Because really, a good leader is going to treat people differently based on where they're coming from. But when you treat people differently, that can raise issues within the group. So you have to be able to manage both of those.
Balancing that against being consistent and fair, for example, is a significant skill.
So you said the key is to not make certain individuals feel marginalized or insignificant,
right,
members of the team.
You deal with them as individuals, but you treat people consistently and fairly. But at the same time, people have different strengths. What's the key to motivating people can be somewhat different from person to person. You know, they bring unique personalities to and backgrounds and interests to the workplace, and you need to know how to adjust and adapt to them as individuals while maintaining sort of consistency and fairness across people.
In the private sector, in dealing with people in the private sector, do you find that your approach is applicable regardless of what kind of profession we're talking about? Or are the leadership skills at all different for, say, a blue-collar profession managing people on an assembly line in a factory versus an office full of, say, accountants, for example?
Well, actually, what we often do is get them to provide examples that we work with in class so that they're relevant to their specific industry. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it would be beneficial for an organization to send more than one person to the course at a time, because there could be some synergy from them discussing things about the company. People from within the same group might benefit a lot from being in the class together. But also, one thing the county has experienced is their classes are usually pretty diverse from different departments across the county, and it creates connections within those departments that didn't exist before, and people really get to know each other. And that's a side benefit of the training that a company could do by sending people from different departments that may be as valuable to them as the training.
People in different departments in a big company don't get to know each other, and they might always be griping, well, why the devil can't accounting do such and such? Why the devil can't the mailroom do such and such and such? But they haven't walked a mile in the other person's moccasins.
Yeah, it really gives you a chance to build some of those connections and understand each other's issues. And when you call somebody up and need something, you've got a relationship with that person.
And it's important that it's not a one-size-fits-all sort of approach. While there are some issues in common as far as conflict management, for example, you know, you're right, dealing in a shop floor environment versus dealing in a very white-collar environment versus others, the way these things play out can be different. And so the sessions are designed to draw out from the participants themselves the ways in which it's most relevant to the situations they're in.
In the Foundational Leadership Academy, do you find that it would be as beneficial for businesses who have had internal trouble or businesses that are chugging along fairly well and just want to get better?
Well, I don't see turning away either one.
No, don't turn them away. Is your approach different for either of those?
Certainly the situations that they find themselves that are probably the most critical situations for them can be very different. If you're in a crisis mode situation, what your major priorities are can be different, or the realities that you're working within
can
be quite
different.
I can
imagine employees coming to this academy with very different attitudes if they're at a company where,
yes,
they feel valued and appreciated versus a company where there have been multiple complaints of racial discrimination, sexual harassment, or whatever the conflict may be.
Yeah, and typically in this case they've come to us because their company has agreed to invest in them. And so the fact that they're being sent to this in the first place usually is a statement that the employee themselves views very positively, the fact that they're in the first place, that their company thought well enough to send them. Mm-hmm. We've certainly provided other kinds of training beyond just the Leadership Academy that is, mm-hmm, more like what you talked about as far as there being a particular problem that you're responding to, mm-hmm, and the attitudes that they bring into it can be a lot dicier, certainly.
And I think the how effective the company is currently is actually a bigger issue for the top leaders, and this isn't really aimed at top leaders in an organization. We've discussed, we get this up and rolling, we may work on developing something that involves more of the strategic planning and the organizational assessment types of stuff that would really be more for preparing C-level executives. Mm-hmm. But this is really aimed at the person that's leading a group or a team or a department more than at the top level of the organization.
So you're talking about what is commonly called middle management?
Yeah, first line or middle management could benefit from this. A lot of people can get into middle management without developing these skills. Mm-hmm. You'd hope that your first line managers are developing these skills, but that's not the way it always works.
In dealing with people and talking to them about leadership, what leadership skill do you find that company executives tell you is most lacking in people? What is the one leadership skill above all that they find that they really want their people to focus on?
The one that always comes up is communication. That's the communication skills, which is built into a lot of these through the goal setting and the feedback, but we also deal directly with communication. But if you look at it, motivating people, goal setting, providing feedback, conflict resolution, leading those individuals, it all involves communication. And I've never met anyone in any organization that said we don't have any communication problems.
So it's sort of a hub and spoke thing with communication as the hub, and then everything else emanates from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the key is to find the angle on taking a topic like that, which could be very abstract and broad, and bring it down to a level where it's very precise and actionable.
Concrete examples from their own experience.
So you know what to do differently, not just the idea of communicating better.
Yeah, and we actually provide several step-by-step job aids on how do you provide performance feedback to a person, step 1 through 7, that they can take away with them.
If my company sends me to the Foundational Leadership Academy, what can I expect when I walk into the room? What? How do I start? What do you guys do?
Usually bagels and coffee.
I'll take that. Sign me up. Where's the 1,000?
And what we're going to do is we're going to present information on something like how to set goals with an individual, and then we're going to actually give you some scenarios and break you up into small groups and have you practice goal setting. And one of the person in your groups is going to observe and see if you're actually following the steps that we've given you and provide feedback on how well you did. And each person in that group is going to take turns. So they're going to get a turn as the person providing the feedback, a turn as the person receiving the feedback, and a turn as the person observing and actually giving feedback to the other two people. That's really three experiences with the material. And then we're going to come back and talk about how it went and how things worked, what they learned from doing that. Then we're going to ask them to actually do that in their company. Pick an employee, pick a person. They're going to have to write it up and send it to us in the intervening time in between sessions. And I think this is a real advantage of the way we've structured the academy, because a lot of leadership training takes place in a very intense week. And you get more information thrown at you than you can possibly handle. And then you get thrown back into the exact same work scenario you were in before, and you may get some chance to apply some of that training, but most of it's going to be forgotten.
Because by the end of the week, if it really was all that intense, you're just burned out on it and you don't want to revisit it, right?
Yes, and nobody's actually holding you accountable for implementing these things when you come back for trying them out, and nobody's supporting you in terms of if you have difficulty of making them work. Mm-hmm. What we'll do at the beginning of the second session is we'll say, okay, what worked and what didn't work when you actually tried this in your company? And we'll spend some time with each individual talking about things that worked or didn't work, so we can all learn from each other in terms of how you actually implement these things.
Yeah, it's different in that all too often leadership training of one sort or another is about attending a workshop, listening to somebody give us a presentation, and even if it sounds great, you're left on your own to figure out what to change. Well, old habits die hard. And this is a case where you get a chance to not only hear about it, but practice it while you're with us. Then on top of that, take it back to the workplace, practice trying it on for size there, and then you come back to us at the next session. How did it go? How can we modify it? So that it really does transfer to workplace impact and not just an interesting presentation.
Or a piece of paper that ends up as gathering dust on a shelf. What do you tell people who attend the Leadership Academy about meetings? common employee a complaint. Oh, God, not another meeting where we sit there doing nothing except trying to avoid falling asleep. Where do leadership skills come into play?
Well, actually, that could be a whole different session. And we have to pick and choose the things we think are most needed for this academy. But if we were to go in and do custom training in an organization, we could develop or deliver a specific module on how to run an effective meeting. And in fact, Dr. Littlepage, who is also affiliated with CORE, has a lot of expertise in that area. But we don't currently tell them much about meetings. If they were to ask us in a session, we would give them some information, but none of the training is specifically aimed at that.
With regard to businesses training people within their systems to be leaders of the company in the future, I don't mean to put you guys out of business, but why don't more of them do it on their own?
As far as developing
as far as having their own internal leadership training programs.
Sure. Well, it's harder to do than it sounds. I mean, all too often we think of it as, well, it's just common sense, for example. Well, if it was just common sense, it'd be a whole lot more common to begin with. Second of all, the skills that it takes to get to a leadership position is not always the same set of skills it takes to be successful at a leadership position. In other words, if I'm working on the as a scientist, research scientist, what it takes to be a good scientist is very different than managing other scientists, for instance. So oftentimes, what it takes to get promoted is different than what it takes to succeed after you're promoted, and that's a transition that people don't always see coming. It's quite an investment of time and energy to think through, identify what those are, and put together an efficient training for how to make that transition. And most places just don't have the staff with a background to do that.
Also, one of the companies that hired us to deliver the goal setting and feedback modules, a company in Nashville, the training manager said, why should I try to develop all of these things myself when I can bring in experts?
Makes sense. Why would a company want to invest in leadership to the point that they would spend the $1,000 fee? What I'm thinking here is leadership overrated? There are some folks who don't know how to be good followers, number one, and number two, isn't it true that not everybody is cut out to be a leader and just does not have the raw material to be a leader?
Well, that may be true, but the catch is we're not trying to make everybody a leader. Somebody, though, needs to be a good leader within the organization. You do need, your organization is going to be seriously affected by the impact of the leaders in that organization. And so basically a major bottom line impact on the effectiveness of the organization is the effectiveness of the leaders.
If you start training people to be good leaders at the middle management level, is there the possibility of a trickle-up effect to the CEO level, or is that not possible?
One of the most common questions I get when I offer these classes to middle managers in organizations is my boss going to take this class?
Or is your boss going to take it seriously when you come back and
right.
try to implement some of the things that you've taught these middle management people?
Ideally, it would be a trickle down. The ideal situation would be that top management would either have these skills or go through the courses themselves first, and then you would work your way down through middle management to first line supervisors so that there's the support to actually implementing these things right throughout the system. Mm-hmm. It is difficult to have knowledge of how to do things right and to watch your boss not do them that way.
Do you think it would be important to have people come back year after year after year to reinforce or to expand upon what they've already learned the first time around in the Leadership Academy program? Or do you see it as a one semester or two semester thing for a particular business and then getting new businesses each year or each semester?
Well, certainly, First of all, we have a limited number of openings because we want to make sure that we can give really the individual attention and so that they can customize its application. So we've got just a dozen spots open. So typically what's going to happen, for example, with Rutherford County, mm-hmm. was after they'd tried it out for the first time, they were so pleased with its success and impact that they then kept referring another round and another round of employees to be able to kind of expand its influence there. That's probably a more typical scenario. Longer term, we do have some additional modules that we're currently developing, as Mike was mentioning, with regard to things like strategic planning, organizational assessment, those sorts of things more effectively. And that would be an opportunity for further expanding a second round of people who've been through the original training.
So it is possible at some point down the road that a middle manager who's been through the Leadership Academy might want to come back for a refresher course or a higher level or different level of Leadership Academy training.
Yes.
I really see it being more coming back eventually for a higher level of training. Refresher training is really for skills you use intermittently. And most of these skills are going to be being used on a constant basis. And we'll actually teach them a pretty well-known self-development model that says that, and we'll, at the end of the session, we'll have them create a plan for their continued development and implementation of these skills, mm-hmm. so that they shouldn't need refresher training in these skills because they're applying them on a daily basis and they're reflecting on mm-hmm. what's working and not working, and they should have the capacity at that point in time to tinker with things and try and make them work better if they're not working right.
And if somebody did want additional add-on services like individualized coaching or that sort of thing, we do have those possibilities as well.
Do some people absorb the information better if they're working one-on-one than they would in a group situation?
Well, this gives us both. Is we've got a small group, which we also break out into even smaller groups when we're doing the role plays and the active practice. And then the two instructors will move around among those groups and be able to deal with them as individuals or small groups. Also, we deal with any individual problems that people have had, sometimes through email in between, but also at the beginning of each class when we talk about how things went. We may address individual questions, you know, throughout the training.
You gentlemen are not entrepreneurs. You're not MPAs. You're both psychology professors. Talk to me a little bit about the application of your particular discipline to solving these types of problems.
Sure.
Explain to the layperson why psychology.
Good. That's an excellent question, because with the layperson's idea of psychology, it's probably not our field.
You're not head shrinking these people.
No, it's nothing like that. Our particular area is called industrial and organizational psychology. It's not counseling. It's not Frasier on TV. It is industrial and organizational psychology is more what you think of as management, human resource management, organizational development, leadership development. Some universities have that in a business school. Some universities have it in a psychology department because it's such a crossover field in that regard. Those of us who've been doing this have been doing actual consulting for 20-some years. Some of us have did consulting for a while before we got into academia. On that side of it, so we bring the real-world application side to it.
Mm-hmm. Anything you want to throw in on that, Michael?
No, sounds good.
That's good enough. For people want to learn more about the Foundational Leadership Academy and the Center for Organizational and Human Resource Effectiveness, how do they get in contact with you gentlemen?
Sure, a couple different ways. Our website, again, is www.cohre.net. Our phone number is 615-217-2084.
And if you were driving down the road and you didn't have a pencil, don't worry about it. You can listen to the podcast when I put it up the day after this airs. Dr. Michael Hine and Dr. Patrick McCarthy, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
This is MTSU On the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Join us again at the same time next Sunday. Remember, you can check out the podcast at your leisure at mtsunews.com, and we're available on iTunes.